listen to two married lesbians discuss an LGBTQ plus book each month that highlights the queer human condition as they use connection and humor to relate the issues to us as a queer community. She's Anna.
And she's Miranda.
I am. And we're two married lesbians.
We are.
And we're all queer here. And we're back. Happy New Year to everybody.
Very happy New Year.
So, what do we have this month, my love?
Well, we have Heartstopper Volume 5, which we were so glad to get in December because it was originally slated to be released in February of last year. Mm-hmm. So there was a delay on that. This one is a little different as far as age range. So
yeah, this is the first one that's mm-hmm. kind of adjusted.
So this title is suggested for grades 9 and up, but it is our belief that parents have the final say in what reading material is best suited for their children. This is different than the first four volumes being listed as ages 12 and up, but also I just kind of want to point out, because I know there's some frustration around, you know, whether or not certain kids of certain ages should read this book and so on and so forth. And if you've been reading it from the beginning and you've kind of grown up with these characters mm-hmm. and the story grows with the audience.
Yes.
But I can also see if you're reading it, you know, as a sad person who just discovered it and reading them all together,
yeah.
you might kind of think there's a disconnect that you might not be quite ready for this volume yet because there is some sexual content.
Sure. Yeah, I definitely noticed that uptick in the maturity level, for sure.
Well, because when we started, Charlie was 14. You know, he had his 15th birthday, and this volume starts with his 16th birthday. And that also reminds me that there has been an additional volume added, and now they're saying that this storyline will conclude with volume 6.
Yeah, I was really surprised and excited to hear there would be an additional volume.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm always happy for an additional volume. I think, too, because Alice had said in an interview, I think it was over the summer or something, that she was struggling to fit it all into one volume and that mm-hmm. it just needed to be longer. And that brings us to our fabulous author. Alice Oseman is asexual and uses she, they pronouns. She also writes and executive produces the Heartstopper series on Netflix, mm-hmm. which is probably why it's so good.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I just feel like...
You really feel their hand in that one.
I feel like there's times where like, oh, I like that actor or actress as, you know, the choice. And then mm-hmm. at times you're like, no, I don't like them. But I think every single character from, you know, the leads to the siblings to... the parents mm-hmm. was so well cast. Like, you just feel like you've stepped inside the book. I feel like I've jumped mm-hmm. inside the novel.
I think that's, like, incredibly rare when you talk about, like, a book-to-movie series. There's always somebody where you're like, that one? That person?
Yeah. Why?
You know? Mm-hmm. That's not who that is at all. It's almost as if it's, like, kismet. Like, it just... everything fell into place for this series.
Yeah. Like these people were walking around. They're like, hey, you look like Tao. And you look like Elle. And you look like Darcy.
And come be in this. And on top of that, yeah. like every single actor nails that personality mm-hmm. of each character.
It's literally, because it's not just the dialogue. Like dialogue, mm-hmm. I think, goes a long way. And sure, again, Alice sure. Oseman
well
is,
written.
Right. She's writing this, the author of the series, the book series. But I think too, it's they're acting with the dialogue. They just, especially yeah. Tao, like, you know, because he kind of comes off as kind of sarcastic. He's a little mm-hmm. jealous at first, you mm-hmm. know, when Nick kind of comes into the picture, he doesn't want to really see that Nick might be interested in Charlie. And so mm-hmm. I think that whole plot line was nailed, like mm-hmm. so well done.
It's a difficult line to walk because on the one hand, you know, Tao obviously cares a great deal about Charlie. But on the other hand, yeah, he does have these problematic kind of negative reactions and emotions to that whole situation.
Well, he doesn't want
born out of
the fear of
protecting.
Yeah, from being yeah. bullied. Yeah.
But I mean, We could spend a whole episode just talking about the series.
We could. Well, season 3 comes out in March of this year, so I'm sure people will be excited for that. I definitely wanted to binge all of season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Again. Well, I know, but like from the start, like when it came out. Mm. But we watched half and then we waited. Like we really had, you know, we had to like savor it. And I felt like the same with this book. I was going to just sit and devour it all in one sitting. However, Amazon, though I pre-ordered it, delivered it 2 days late.
Yeah, we were already behind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I was very heartbroken about my Heartstopper book. Mm-hmm. It like was, you know, this visceral reaction as I kept checking the update. But anyway, so I just had planned to sit down and read it all in one sitting. Like I just could not wait any longer. But as I was reading it, I just felt like I needed to, I think I read it in 3 sittings. Like I needed to pause and mm-hmm. just appreciate the art, appreciate the story, appreciate the craft. And I think that's kind of rare sometimes when I'm just so excited to read a book.
Yeah.
So this volume starts out with Charlie thinking about sex and starting to feel like he's ready mm-hmm. to take that next step with Nick, but also not knowing. It brings up this idea of not knowing if you're ready while also feeling like everyone else is already having sex, even though that's not true.
Yeah. I definitely remember feeling that way in like high school. It just felt like everybody knows more than you and everybody's doing more than you.
They're doing it.
Yeah. But I didn't really feel at all prepared for that. Cause I think at that age, I mean, it's like you already have like those awkward feelings of growing up and feeling so uncertain about, you know, whatever it is in your life. Maybe there'll be one area of your life where you're like, oh, I absolutely know what's up here. But then there's 5 others where you just feel completely lost. So I just, I don't know. I definitely think that narrative of not knowing if you're ready or if your significant other is ready, that part was really, you know, relatable.
Mm-hmm. Because Charlie mentions like, he's nervous, so maybe he's not ready. And then mm-hmm. he's like, well, I'm always going to be nervous. Like, it doesn't matter. So it's like, you really have to, you know, you have to kind of know yourself. Mm-hmm. And like, I liked that they brought in the therapist.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was good because, and I feel like not necessarily like the UK or is more evolved, but like, I don't know that I could see a teenage boy talking to their therapist about that in the US. It just felt very British to me to be like, and now I'm going to talk about my feelings. You know, that I just, that's just me having, you know.
Well, but he's been
in therapy going for a while. Yeah.
He's built this relationship with this therapist talking about those worst moments in his life and trying to get through all that. Not to mention, you know, his eating disorder, or his disordered eating.
Which comes into play when he doesn't want to take his shirt off. And then when he finally does later, I think that, you know, that shows growth, but it also shows the level of trust he has with Nick.
Yeah.
And I definitely think you shouldn't be intimate, or you shouldn't have sex, because there's other types of intimacy. You shouldn't have sex with someone you don't trust.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think that was a big deal for me.
Just seeing that they mutually were being very supportive of each other. And kind of checking in with each other. Like, there were multiple times where they'd be like, hey, are you sure? Do you want to... Maybe we should stop. And I just... Like, even, like, there were little moments where you basically just saw Nick watching Charlie and seeing his reactions to, like, not wanting to take a shirt off and being really sensitive to that aspect of his partner's life. And I just thought that was really beautiful because, like, I mean, we all have parts of our bodies that aren't our favorite. But
especially as a woman.
Even from that perspective, like, everybody can kind of relate to that. But I've had partners in the past that were like, oh, well, when we're having sex, I don't want to take my shirt off or whatever. And I hope anybody that feels that way has a partner like Charlie and Nick that are sensitive to that and supportive of whatever your journey looks like, because we all experience intimacy in different ways, and whatever way you feel most comfortable and sexual in your body is the right way for you. So I wrote down in my notes, it's further down in my notes, but this kind of really brought it up. You and I have talked a great deal, both on the podcast and outside of it, how frustrated we get with frequently queer media shows very problematic relationships mm-hmm. that are not healthy. And
are you talking about the lesbian period pieces?
Many of them, yes. But I think that's part of what makes Heartstopper so endearing, is the only time you see unhealthy relationships, they're framed as such.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we first met Ben and Charlie. And then all the relationships of our main characters, you know, not just Nick and Charlie, but like Tao and
L
and Elle.
And Tara and Darcy.
And Tara and Darcy.
And even the teachers.
Yeah. You see growth. You see caring. You see support. You see being sensitive to your partner's needs. And I find it so refreshing and lovely. And it's very charming and beautiful. And I adore that gift that Alice Oseman has given the queer community, because we so desperately need that. We should all, like humans, young, old alike, we should all see what positive relationships look like that are healthy, because that's what we should all aspire to have.
Yeah. Well, you know, I grew up as a teenager with the L word, so I was really like...
You really got to see a lot of not healthy.
Yeah, I was like, is this what it's like? There's so much sapphic drama. I can't handle this.
Yeah.
Turns out it's not like that.
No.
If you choose a better path.
Choose wisely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And not surround yourself with that. But I also want to mention too, you know, because Tao kind of mentions that, you know, him and L have tried some things. And that... he kind of encourages Charlie to talk to Nick about it, because he's like, look, like me and Elle, we're like, we love each other. We're really good friends. So like, if it's awkward, we'll just laugh. Yeah. And I know like you and I laugh a lot.
We do.
And like, I just, during sexy
intimate
time.
Intimate moments.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that is just so refreshing, and it makes it better, because like, there's no perfect sex scene. You know, I was seeing a news article the other day, and it was like the best, you know, lesbian sex scene in a movie, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, who cares? They're actors. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like that in real life. Like, people trip. People, you know, pull a button off. Like, you know, people, you know, hiccup or whatever, or sneeze. Like, you know, that kind of thing. Or allergy season in Texas. We have to stop and blow our nose. Like, it's not all sexy and fun and rainbows, you know.
Well, there can be lots of rainbows.
Yeah, there can be.
Your results may vary.
Yeah, but it's not, you know, it's not a Fletcher song, you know. You have to really give yourself a little grace and be willing to laugh with your partner.
I mean, speaking of unhealthy relationships, I worry about Fletcher.
She's not okay.
Music, but based on some of those lyrics, I'm like, I hope you find happiness.
Yeah, but also, like, I want to meet the train wreck she's dated.
Yeah.
But also, if you constantly attract the train wreck, what does that say about you?
It has made her a very successful musician. Yes, I'll say that.
Absolutely.
But, much like Adele, I hope she finds happiness.
Mm-hmm. And Kelly Clarkson, because she's had a hard
relationship
past.
Yeah.
It's tough.
But I...
A lot of strong women can't seem to figure out love.
You know what? It's hard. It's hard. Mm-hmm. And I think especially for musicians or actor, like people that
in the limelight,
in the spotlight,
mm-hmm.
It makes it more difficult, because it's harder to kind of vet the intentionality.
But I think it's also hard to separate the like public persona from the artist, from the person, just the person.
Sure,
you know,
because you can be as open and heartfelt as possible, but the person you portray in your songs at best is a brief snapshot of who you were once, the way you remember that moment.
Mm-hmm. And it's
And that doesn't, that's not static.
And if the person dating you knew about you before you dated, right? They didn't live under a rock.
Yeah.
Then they already have notions of the person you are, whether they want to admit that or not.
Mm-hmm.
So, but also, you know, but through those early conversations in the book, this pressure to lose your virginity and having it be this big deal, that's always been a thing. There's so many young adult books, and like, I can't even tell you how many I've read that's like, we got to lose it before college. Why?
It's such an arbitrary thing. And then that's only quote unquote relevant. It isn't, but quote unquote relevant when you attach it to people thinking of sex in like traditionally heteronormative Western cultural ways, where they're like, it has to be penetrative and it has to, it's like, no, it doesn't. Sex is whatever the two consenting adults involved decide it is.
And it feels good to both people.
Exactly. Like that's, it's a very private, intimate matter.
That kind of brings up, they talk about later that sex can be all kinds of things, especially for queer people.
Yeah. And I would argue straight people should try to reframe it for themselves in that way too.
Yeah. Maybe we wouldn't have so many unplanned pregnancies. Is that what you're saying?
No.
No? Okay.
No, straight people have been doing weird stuff that they've been desperately trying not to call sex. Like that soaking and... you remember I explained what that is? It's like a thing with Mormon teens.
Well, that should just stop you right now.
Yeah.
Let's not explain that on this.
We won't.
I think too, like... But it still goes back to like being penetrative. Like, just... I think it was you that said a long time ago we were talking about that. Because, you know, we have a soon-to-be teenage son. And we discuss sex with him sometimes. And that it should feel good to both parties, whoever he's with. And you should hopefully care about them a lot.
Yeah.
At least when you're young. I mean, you're old, you can do what you want. But, like, you just need to get laid. But, like, especially after COVID, like, everybody was just jumping into the sack. Like, yeah. I get it. Like, you got the vaccine. That was a whole thing on dating apps, whether you were vaxxed or unvaxxed. Yeah. It's crazy. But anyway, yeah, people were ready to get jiggy with it again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think... you know, when you're young, you should kind of have some compassion and some feelings for the person. But like you had mentioned to me, like when we were discussing like how to have the conversation with him, like there's a lot that is said for mutual masturbation.
Yeah.
And just being, I mean, I was just thinking like we saw that in The Traveler or Fellow Travelers, that show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like just, you know, yeah. So like there's a lot of things you can do. That, you know, that kind of thing.
And I mean, I'd call that sex.
Yeah.
You know, sure.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's just a lot going on. And I think, you know, queer people have kind of taken, not sex back, but, like, we've always been sexually liberated in a sense. But taken what it means to have sex back.
Yeah.
And make it feel right for you. Like, literally, you know. And that I think is demonstrated in the conversations, and it's not different than queer people have been having for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the inclusion of it in this book is really relevant and important for this current generation, who has essentially grown up with acceptance their whole lives to a degree.
Yeah.
So like to not feel like, oh, I have to do X, Y, and Z to have sex. Like when, was it Tara and Elle take mm-hmm. Nick to the pharmacy or the, get some items.
Yeah.
And it's like, it doesn't show him using that stuff yet. And like, he doesn't have to do that stuff.
Right.
They're very inquisitive of it, but they were lesbians that don't necessarily know
I liked that they cared enough about their friends that they were like, we want you to have these things. If you need them, we want you to be safe. And we don't want you to be in a predicament where you don't get the things you need because you feel nervous about it. Whereas if it's just there already, if and when you might use it, great.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, also great.
Plus, I feel like with so much... Not enough always, but obviously, but with so much queer media, I feel like we see a lot of established queer couples that are already having sex, whether they're older or younger or whatever. And so I don't think we see this kind of like, are we ready yet discussion or storyline.
Yeah.
With a queer couple. We see it all the time with the straights, but we don't see it a lot with queer couples. And so I really appreciated that. I mean, she could have just glossed right over it,
mm-hmm.
you know, but, and this,
I do think probably about the closest other example of that I can think of off the top of my head was in Love, Victor. But even that didn't seem like they went into it as
hesitantly,
in depth as.
Well, one of them was more experienced. We have.
That's true. Whereas here, both parties are.
And maybe your guiding hand. Yeah, exactly. I love the fact that the mom showed up and he was like, it's not funny. I have to put my pants on. It's funny. But Nick's mom was totally essentially on board. She has been
the most supportive mother. Because, like, she gets it. If she says, no, you can't do that.
They're just going to do it anyway. They're going to do it even more.
Yeah. And they're going to just do it somewhere else where like they can't be safe.
Clean. They're not going to clean well enough. I don't want anyone having sex in my car.
No.
But me.
But you. Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Just yourself by yourself.
No. What? That went south. Anyway. Well, different kind of south. Okay. So, but I want to bring it back to the teacher when they're in the sex education. And Mr. Lang shows them a picture of the STIs and all the boys die of laughter. I just felt that was priceless.
Yeah.
And when I saw pictures of STIs, we used to call them STDs.
Yeah, back in the
diseases, not infections. I saw them in eighth grade and I was like, this is, I don't ever want to have sex. Like,
seemed like you changed your tune though eventually.
Yeah.
Well, I think
It is a scare tactic. Like, look at this. Nobody wants itching south of their equator. Okay. It's just not pleasant.
No.
It's not comfortable. Like, I can itch my arm all day in public, but I can't itch my hoo-ha when I'm standing in line at, well, maybe Walmart, but not Target. Like, you know, like it's not a subtle area to itch. That's what I'll say.
Yeah. When did you take sex ed? Was it only eighth grade?
It wasn't called that because the school would have been set on fire.
Yeah.
But it was called health class. And we did a project on that. And then we learned about the biology of how babies.
Wait, did a project on it.
We did a project on STIs.
STDs. Did everybody get to pick one?
Yeah.
I get gonorrhea.
Yeah, it was just like the drug one. I can't remember which one I had. I had ecstasy as my drug, but I don't remember what my STD was.
Oh, so, I had,
like, you know, I guess I didn't learn anything.
No, apparently not.
But ecstasy sounded really weird, but it sounds cool now. I still don't want to try it. But I'm really into it whenever people do it on TV. I'm like, yeah, they're going to have a great time. So it's like, yeah.
Is that all you learned from that class? Is that you're going to have a great time? That seems counterproductive to the original intent.
Well, I mean, there's some side effects if you take too much, like how much you're taking, where
do
to get it from.
Do you remember what the side effects are?
No.
Well, now the danger is fentanyl.
Well, I won't touch that stuff.
Everything.
I don't do drugs.
People are putting it in all the drugs.
The holes? Oh, I was.
Holes?
I don't know.
You're jumping.
I was thinking of like Vagisil.
When
I found out where that pill went, I was like, it got in me. So, at least I want the back door, you know what I'm saying? So, Vagisil goes up, you know, you get the little.
It doesn't go in your rectum, babe.
No, I said at least it doesn't go up the back
door. Oh, okay, gotcha. I originally took health class / sex ed in fifth grade.
Yeah, because that feels young.
Well, I was at a private school at the time.
Well, now there's like third graders getting their periods. Oh, can you imagine having to explain to a third grader why they have cramps and they're angry and they want to eat carbs?
This is going to be the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Curse words and obscenities, which is fair. Mm-hmm. And they hide in their room. No, but like we took took sex ed in fifth grade.
Did your parents have to sign like a permission slip?
Probably.
I feel like that's very Texas.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to learn the truth? Sign this form. Do you want them to be ignorant? Don't sign the form and they'll go and watch a Disney movie.
Yeah. Well, I went to...
Which is also not the truth.
So. Yeah. No, definitely not. But I went to an Episcopal school, which we were not Episcopalian.
Thank God.
But for the most part, they seem pretty dope. Like I don't think I could handle going to a Catholic private school.
No.
But Episcopalians are all right. They've had gay preachers, ministers. I don't even remember. It's been too long. But
when you were at the school?
No, but like sooner than many other faiths.
Those Methodists or the holdouts.
I know, which is a bummer because that's how I was raised. But anyway, and then I took sex ed again in, I think, seventh grade.
Jesus, because you forgot 2 years
No,
because
then I went to like public school.
Oh, yeah. It's...
And that's like they were just
you had to
years
sign a form
behind.
Then. You had to sign a form for that.
Yeah, there was definitely a form signing. And I'm elderly, so our health videos were shown to us on laser discs. For the youth out there, laser discs.
Was that before VHSs?
No, it was post-VHS, pre-DVD.
Wow.
So it was basically, it's the size of a record, but it's basically a giant DVD.
And what does the, player look like?
Oh, it's huge. Oh. I'm putting
That's
my
what
hands
you want.
Apart.
That's what you want.
It's about as wide as I am.
Right, which is quite, we are wide-waisted.
Mm-hmm. And, the cool thing about laser discs is you can basically go frame by frame, which is deeply upsetting in health class.
Okay.
For obvious reasons.
I'm going to move on. If you could open up to page 166.
I shall do it.
So, because there are depictions of sex scenes, so we'll wait on the book burning for this one and the book banning. But I just want to point out the artwork of their sex scene. There's kind of a lot going on. It's kind of confusing. There's a lot of emotion in this. There's lots of swirling.
Hand squeezing. Giggle.
Yeah, colors.
Mother.
Right. So it's really confusing. And it's kind of like sex. Like the experience of reading it was, for me, your first time, confusing. Mm-hmm. Out of body, not sure what's happening. That's what sex is.
There is. Notably,
I appreciated that parallel.
There's no
body parts.
Moaning.
No.
There's no.
Okay, babe.
No, but I mean, it's not explicit.
I think it's really well done to capture how complex those emotions and that anxiety can be around your first time.
Sure.
Again, that sense of confusion. Not knowing what's what, So, because when, I go back to that, news article, the best lesbian sex scene in the movies. I'm like, my sex life is the best lesbian sex scene.
Facts.
You
keep mentioning this article. Why didn't you send it to me?
Oh, because it was stupid and poorly written. It wasn't a reputable news site. It was just some opinion blogger. You can sponsor stuff on Facebook now, so it pops up. So they're queer baiting me.
Well, that's rude.
Yeah. All right. I also liked the plot where the teacher tells Charlie that the younger students would be inspired if he was head boy.
Oh, yeah.
And then he decides to apply. I think that's really a big step for his confidence and his kind of leadership in the school.
And that was really beautiful. And I loved the way his teacher brought it up. What was it? Farouk?
I think so.
That he was like,
it's been so long since volume 4. I forgot the teacher names.
Yeah, I do love that Alice Osmond puts them in the back.
Not the point.
Just quickly.
Not the point.
I know.
I want them faster.
Okay, I understand.
Mm-hmm. There's not even a release date for volume 6. How rude. I mean, I know she's busy. And
she is busy.
Respect that. But life is short, I could die before I read volume 6. Who knows?
Don't. Say that.
I know. I hope I can read it in heaven because God's got to be like, whoa, let's get the...
Pre-order.
He won't delay me 2 days like Amazon did. God's I got the Holy Spirit on your side. I'm going to...
Just
you can read
direct
it.
Ship.
You can read an arc of it. Here you go. An advanced reader copy. You've got that. It's like, as I arrive, he's handing them out to everyone.
Yeah.
Signed copies, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's,
I did want to say there was there's a point in the book where are they? I think
one of the universities.
No. I think they were at Charlie's house and they were having like a little get together, almost not really a party, but kind of a party with like the core friend group. And they're like all drinking, which they're all.
And that is the beginning. That is his birthday, his 16th birthday.
Okay. But anyway, I mean, they're all underage. Right. I mean, even if the age is lower in England.
Right. 18.
Mm-hmm. Is it 18?
It is 18.
But they're still underage.
Right.
I don't know. Charlie made a comment to Darcy and he was like,
mom will kill you if you get sick.
If you get too drunk.
Well, because she got really, like, remember she was the sick one on the trip.
I know she was. I know, but like, I don't know. I kind of had a problem with it because it's like, so his mom's okay with them drinking, but not too much?
Naked canoodling. Oh.
Oh, well,
right.
That too.
Is that too? Yeah.
No, I meant, I don't know. It just.
Well, it just goes back to the original, and I hate that I have to even call it the original because the second one shouldn't exist. The original Mean Girls, where the Amy Poehler as the mom is like, why do you want some? Because I'd rather you have it in the house. You know, if you're going to drink it, might as well drink
but
it in the
Charlie's
house.
But Charlie's mom does not strike me as that person.
Yeah. Are you trying to call out a plot hole?
No. I'm just saying it didn't seem in character with who we know Charlie's mother to be. Like, yeah, it would be in character for her to be like, here, you can have a party. I want to encourage you to have these friendships and you know, he's been through so much, but it just doesn't make sense for her to be like, sure, here's alcohol, but make sure Darcy doesn't get too drunk.
See, I feel like I would be like, oh, sure, to our son, I'll supply your party with beer and wine only. But then I would go to the lengths of pouring out all the beer and all the wine and refilling it with non-alcoholic beer and wine. And then show up really and be like, everybody drunk? No.
No. The funny part about that, though, is they'll act drunk.
Yep,
because
but they won't be drunk.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, great.
It's
yeah. Great. I hope Kenan doesn't listen to this because my plan.
He doesn't.
Yeah. Okay, good.
I don't know that he really knows this exists.
That's probably best.
Yeah. How awkward would it be if he has like a queer friend in high school that's like
obsessed with this?
Yes.
And your moms like, are so cool.
Those are your moms? And Kenan's like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Has to like go and look this up.
Well, we'll see. It's out there once it's online.
Future Kenan, I'm so sorry you had to hear this.
No, she's not.
I hope that you have a very healthy life that I don't know much about as far as sex life.
But okay. You're being safe.
Yeah, be safe.
And drink responsibly and don't drive.
And consent is important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good job. Go get him, champ. And we'll be right back. And we're back. All right. So back to the present.
Wow. Okay. So the I love how they call it uni. It's so cute.
Yeah.
University. We're just like, college. You're going to college, kid. Yeah. So uni. Decision to be close to Charlie and also unsure what to study. Like, that is, I think, the majority of humans on this earth who are considering the farce that is higher education.
Thank you for saying it, because you're like higher education poster person.
I think it's
a very problematic relationship with
higher
education.
It's what you do when you're there. But yeah, the fact that, you know, people can graduate college and not know how to use commas in a sentence.
I do still struggle with commas.
I wasn't trying to pinpoint you.
I mean, you did list my, like, challenge.
Well.
So, you are a very driven human.
Mm-hmm.
You have two separate yet concurrent bachelor's degrees that
Correct.
You got from a very prestigious university in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, you now have a master's degree.
Yes, from a lesser known university.
While working full time.
Correct.
I deeply admire your work ethic.
But I wonder why I sleep a lot.
You just said no one knows what to do. Can you please explain?
Yeah, so I think the older I get, and really kind of keeping it short, I became a high school English teacher after having been a journalist for a few years outside mm-hmm. of college. And the crazy part is you really need to go to J, they call it J school, journalism school, mm-hmm. to be a good journalist, because if you just are out there with a blog, you haven't had really the discussion around ethics and, you know, possible bribery and like things that pop up like in a journalistic society, you know.
Yeah.
And as well as how to be a good writer, like that blog I was reading about the sex scenes, I was like,
yeah,
get to the fucking point. Like, sorry.
I hate
like
it.
I can't like, and not like because they're the sex scene, I wasn't trying to say the F word for that, but like which one was it? Like I yeah. you know, like
I hate it when they tell you their life story
for yes.
12 paragraphs.
Like, weave it in. It's like yeah. a novel. They don't, you know, the exposition of the novel to get to the rising action and, you know, the plot diagram. They don't throw everything out at you first. That's not why Fourth Wing is a 21-hour audiobook, right? She builds it up. So I think when you look at certain jobs, I think they need, you know, higher education. I don't know for journalism school that I needed, you know, the biology for non-science majors. Again, back to STDs. I didn't need that.
STIs.
I know, but it was still D's
was it
back
then.
Still D's back then. Still D's back then. Like, I don't know that I necessarily needed that to be a well-fledged human.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that could have been a technical school. Mm-hmm. I think we have a lot of degrees that are, you know, 4 years that really could be a technical education that the university could still give out, you know. But anyway, but when I became a news editor, I worked a lot with freelancers. And they would pitch me stories and I would offer guidance because, you know, sometimes the story goes somewhere else. Like, you know, it's unexplained, you know, not unexplained, but like takes a turn because that's what the story ends up being after you interview people. And I would get these stories and they were so awful. And I was just like, wow, these people have college degrees and they still can't write. Like they were given a degree. Now, fair, when you know, go through college, especially in journalism, like you submit your story and, you know, you get some suggestions to revise it. And they might go through a couple of drafts depending on how long it is. But it shouldn't be that bad as a first draft once you've graduated. Now, I'm sure if I was to go back and write a new story now, having been out of the field, it'd probably be a little rusty. But when I was first out of college, my writing was decent, you know?
Yeah.
And I continued to learn on the job. So anyway, I really saw a lot of that and it kind of hurt my heart. And I thought, you know, I want to go and fix the problem before it becomes a problem and help high schoolers be good writers, because you really need to write in any field, because we've all gotten an email that was crazy all
incoherent.
Over the place. Yeah. And you're like, do I respond? Is there a meet? What is happening in this, you know, basically typing vomit on this, you know, email. And so, yeah, so that's what got me into it. But through teaching high school and realizing how some people still get through college and basically have very little skill. I mean, it's starting to feel as I get older, and I say this as a librarian who had to have a degree to get my job, it just feels like higher education is just a business.
Yeah.
But some jobs you can't get unless you have the degree, but mm-hmm. like, did you necessarily need the whole degree? You know what I'm saying? Like, why don't we just go and what's the point of a major if I have to have all these other classes as my quote unquote basics? Isn't that what high school is? The basics?
Yeah, but you've also worked with enough high schoolers to know that.
Well, that's because you can't fail them anymore. Because then it hurts your graduation rate. If high school, and I'm convinced, because again, I look, you know, we're looking at this book in the UK. France, people, in France, the college is free. But you have to score a certain, you know, on your grades. And so, oh, you didn't make whatever, then you're just going to go and you're going to be an apprentice. You're going to do that. Mm. So that's what I think Florida, you know, they don't do a lot of stuff right in Florida, but like they tried to do with their 2 degree plans of like career or college tracks.
Oh, okay.
For high school. And so when I look at, you know, the current student debt nightmare, it's like, look at what you're doing with your degree. And I had a hall director explain this to me when I was in college, that each degree is a certain skill set. And I was like, that's bull crap. Like, I feel like there's a lot of overlay of skills. But again, sure. I go back to
transferable skills are a thing.
Why can't I just take 10 classes, have my 30 hours in journalism, get a certificate, call it a day? You get paid for all the hours. I think a lot more people would get some form of education if that existed. A lot more people would take advantage of that education than committing to 4 full-time years. Because when I was kind of a non-traditional student in graduate school, but not a lot of people can afford to do graduate school full-time.
Yeah.
Because it's too hard to work and do that. So when I did it part-time, I was like, this is what a lot of people do now as undergrad, you know? And at the same point, I also wanted my students to know that they didn't have to go to college to be successful. However, say they graduate at 18, they don't go to college, they do a bunch of stuff, and then they're 35 and they decide or they discover a passion for medicine.
Yeah.
Now they want to go to nursing school. I wanted them to have the skill set to be able to do the coursework. My slogan was always, you don't have to go to college, but I want you to have the choice to do so.
Yeah. Yeah. I want you to be able to do whatever you need to get to where you want to be. Yeah.
So yeah, that's, but anyway, I like that he eventually tells Charlie that he likes the farther away school.
Yeah, that was a really beautiful moment.
And that Charlie was supportive. I didn't really see that coming.
I was worried, but Charlie was like, well, yeah, I want you to be happy. You didn't seem that into, was it Kent?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, really lit up when you talked about Leeds.
Kent is a much cooler name.
Oh, is it?
I think.
Yeah.
And I like how they're like, whoa, you really are close to Kent. They're like a short drive away.
What was it? Yeah, like 15 minutes or something.
I don't know if this was a bombshell, but the Tori Michael both not being straight. And then Charlie has to think back to all the like moments where Michael's been like, oh, that's so-and-so Instagram. He's hot. And like not putting it together. And that she's asexual.
That was awesome to have her come out and you know, talk to her brother about it. And Charlie having the opportunity to kind of reciprocate all the love and support that his sister was able to give him on his journey. It was just really nice.
I was disappointed that she wasn't very snarky in this volume. And I do appreciate her snark.
I love her snark.
She didn't pop up with the drink and a straw.
Yeah, she did.
I was like, what's going on?
Where's her? Is she thirsty? What's
She's
happening?
She's got to be thirsty. Different type of thirsty.
Oh, what? No.
Like literal thirsty.
Literal thirsty, yeah. Yeah, I did miss her snark. But on the good side, it meant that there weren't as many things going wrong.
Fair.
For her to be snarky about. So
what about the sleepover? We hadn't really talked about that. I think it was kind of a big deal when we saw, and maybe this explains the drinking thing with the mom, how she is really hard on Charlie about no sleepover.
Yeah, because she was like, until you get through your
But then she thinks
tests,
and he storms off to go see Nick, which of course that's pure teenager drama. And then she is talking to the dad, which I loved the dad, like, do you want to talk about it? Like most guys would be like, you okay? You gonna do the dishes? You know, I just felt like it was really, again, British guys, so great. So anyway, but she thinks back to her mom being overbearing and her saying that to her mother that she hated her.
Yeah.
And so when they do talk, Charlie and his mom talk about, she felt like she was being overbearing like her mom. So I think maybe that was kind of the drinking thing.
Yeah. I did like that we kind of saw some of her character arc in this. I always love it when we get to see more about all the other characters that aren't just Nick and Charlie.
Because they're the support system. And they've helped made them who they are. Amazing
characters right. in their own right.
I want to live in Heartstopper Land.
Man, can you? That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
All the tea. All the jumpers. All the cute dogs. I'm there. I'm there.
Actual snow.
Actual snow.
Not like frozen rain. I hate that. I'm like, how is that not snow? Oh, I see it now. It's just balls of ice.
Okay. Can I bring up something that isn't necessarily going to be positive?
You may.
Okay.
I always want you to feel safe.
Thank you. I feel like this is a safe place. So I had some complicated reactions and feelings about Charlie and Nick's sex life. I don't really know how else to put it, but to say that. And I'm curious how you felt about it. And while there were a lot of aspects of it that I was like, I this is relatable, I like this, you know, yada yada. The further we went into that
storyline,
that plot point, the more I was like, I'm not finding them charming as much as I have in the previous books. And so I've been thinking about it a lot because, like, we see a lot of gay male sex. Like, you and I personally, like, we watch a lot of queer media. I was going to say,
please explain.
Yeah. It's not like we have a bunch of gay men having sex in our house.
We don't have a Pornhub membership.
No.
Do they do membership? I don't know.
How else are they making money? I don't understand.
Advertisements?
Anyway.
Have you? Okay. Anyway.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Pause. Rewind. Start again. The whole point of what I was saying is I can't figure out. Okay. So I couldn't really decide if it was that we didn't get to see as much of the charm from their back and forth banter.
Because they texted a lot about it. I feel like there was banter.
I know, but it just, I don't know. There was something missing. And it became all about sex and less about
their friends,
their connection. You know, what they want to do, their growth, you know. So I feel like that there was just something missing because I was like, well, what other, is it because it's young people having sex and I'm thinking too much about my kid and I'm like, oh, I don't want to know about that. But
I think it's just,
I don't think that's it because like when we watch Young Royals, there's a lot of sex in that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have the same feeling of being like,
also on Netflix.
Yeah, also on Netflix.
It's dubbed though, so where they put the English over the I think Swedish. Is it Swedish? I don't know. It's really great.
I don't remember.
Really
yeah, it's if you for some reason haven't heard of it, but you're a big Heartstopper fan.
But it is more mature. Like I would say high school. Mature,
but
yeah.
It's worth checking out. Right, it's a similar vein.
Yeah.
But anyway, I couldn't quite put my finger on what made it less charming for me.
At that point, as a teenager, you're already like, everything matters and your feelings are hyper sensitive. So I feel like when you're thinking about having sex with someone you're like super in love with, that's all they're going to think about. Especially when he's thinking about he's going to move away and then I'm going to be at my school. I
get that the inclusion of that storyline. That's not a problem to me.
I think it's going to hinge on what happens in volume 6. I think it's almost like a TBD. And you just need to tell Swift, you need to calm down.
I wanted more of the friends. I wanted more of that rich world that we want to go live in.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like it wasn't there for me in this volume.
I just feel like it would have been, the sex part would have been a smaller storyline had Charlie not had a mental illness and not had body issues. I just think it would have been a smaller component, still included. So I think that's why. I mean, how thick you want the book to be, woman? Like, you know what I'm saying? She's got to stop it sometime. I mean, trust me, I'd love a never-ending volume. But I hear you. Good for you for voicing your thoughts. I don't agree. I would like to say that I enjoyed the when Charlie performs at the with the band.
See, hold on. That's part of the storyline I wanted more of.
I know, but I liked that Nick was late because Charlie was able to know that he could do it without him. Yeah. You know, that he doesn't.
I loved that.
Because sometimes, you know, we talked about this in an earlier volume that they were kind of making each other their whole world. And that was the little part where they started to be unhealthy. But it's also when you're in that new lovey-dovey part, you really do.
It's hard to not.
I mean, we're lesbians. We're nesters. Okay. We do that. But like you eventually have to go back out into the world and talk to people and, you know, stop eating so many baked goods in bed. And so when he realizes that he can do stuff, you know, with his support from far away, because, you know, he was texting him. I think that's a really big deal.
It was a big moment for him.
It was a good ending.
All of the points, I'm like, yeah, I'm glad they were there. I just missed the same level of care and attention that we got previously. Mm-hmm. I felt like, as much as I love this series and I love the author, I just felt like it wasn't the same level of attention to detail and the rich world building that we all love and show up for that it has been in the previous four volumes. That's all.
On that same note, we did not get a bonus scene.
We didn't, yeah.
So that was hurtful.
Yeah, that's, you know, it is what it is, my love.
I know. I'm just saying. I have to voice my concerns. All right. You want to rate it?
Yes.
You can decline.
Why don't you go first?
Well, you know, I'm a diehard fan. I'm going to give it 5 glittering rainbows. I can't help it. I think you can give it a perfect review and still have some negative comments. I think that's possible. You can have a different.
So I'm gonna take a departure, but I wanna give it a caveat.
Okay.
If we look at this outside of
the other volumes.
The other volumes. Like if this was a book I'd never
Which I think heard we should, of, you know?
Then I would say, I mean, especially considering other things that we've read that I was like, yeah, 5 rainbows. I would give it 5 rainbows. If we look at it in comparison to the previous 4.
To the Heartstopper canon.
Heartstopper canon. I think I'm at a 3.5.
Whoa. Okay. That's hard.
It's
hard to hear. I'm just being honest. Like, that's a shocker. Like, that's.
I was just disappointed. I love every single character. And there just wasn't enough time with the other characters. And to me, the book suffered because of that.
Thank you for being brave.
I feel bad because I love the series. But it just wasn't up to the high standards that Alice Oseman has already set.
That's a fair
point. It was a high bar that they have set. So I am excited for number 6.
Whenever it comes out.
Yeah, when it comes out. I'm excited for the next season for the Netflix series. And I enjoyed the book. It just wasn't as good.
Mm.
And it kind of took me a little bit to kind of really sort through it in my mind and be like, what was it that I wasn't as happy with?
That's fair. So, all right, we are doing a duology for February and March.
Y'all, I'm so excited about this. This has been my pick that I've been asking for since the inception of this podcast.
Okay, okay. And if you have been hesitant to read any other book because the character wasn't your level of queer as the main character, this book has pretty much almost every letter in the LGBT. It has everything. It has almost every letter in the LGBTQ plus alphabet.
Okay, so can I
just say what it is?
Like, yeah, say what okay. it is. I'm sorry. It's just so excited.
Well, Once in Future is the first book by, and there's a lot of books around that title, but yes. It's just Once in Future by Corey McCarthy and A.R. Capetta, and the second book is Sword in the Stars by the same authors. So yes. We'll start, obviously, with the first one in February, with the second one in March. Miranda will hopefully be happy with these.
Yeah, I've read them both before.
Samesies.
So,
but I'm going to have to reread them.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
Anna introduced me to the series when we first started dating.
And let me tell you, hold on.
Yeah.
This was a independent bookstore highlight for one of their YA book clubs.
Mm.
So naturally, I was like, wait, it's queer? So I got it and it was great. And then yeah. I bought it for you on our second date.
Yes, we're on our second date.
So go to your independent bookstores.
Tell me some of your favorite books.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that I enjoyed A Sword in the Stone, the Once and Future King, that book, which is basically the Sword in the Stone kind of Arthurian legend, by T.H. White, I believe.
Heck if I know.
Anyway, and your eyes like lit up and you were like, we have got to go stop by a bookstore. And you found this for me, and I've never felt more seen by a book recommendation. It's The Once and Future King in space. So I cannot wait. With all the queer people.
And drama.
There is drama.
There's drama.
It is a beautiful, beautiful story. And I cannot wait to talk about it. I love it deeply. And until next time,
we're all queer here.
Absolutely.